भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25. Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, text number 30, I think. Yep. We'll finish this chapter off today. Yashodaroni Nando. Ramascha Balinam Varaha. Krishna Malinga Yuyuju Asisha Snehakataraha Yashoda Mother Yashoda Rohini Rohini Nandaha Nanda Maharaj Ramaha Balaram, Chop, also, Balinam, of the strong, Varaha, the greatest, Krishnam, Krishna, Alingya, embracing, Yuyujuhu, they all offered, Asishaha, benedictions, Sneha, by their affection for him, Kataraha, besides themselves. Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, and Balarama, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings. Divi Deva Gana Siddha Sadhya Gandharva Charanaha Tushtur Mumuchus Tushtaha Pushpavarshani Partiva. In the heavens, O King, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction. Purport, the demigods in heaven were just as jubilant as the residents of Vrindavan, and thus a great universal festival took place. Shankadundu bayone dur divideva prachoditaha jagur gandharva patayas tumburu pramukanipa. My dear Parikshit, the demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, led by Tumbura, began to sing. Tatonuraktai pasupai parishvito rajan svagoshtam sabalo vrajadharahi tatavidhanyasya kritani gopika gayantya iyur mulita vidispishaha. Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes, singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts. Purport, before returning to their homes, the gopis shared intimate association with their lover, Sri Krishna, by exchanging secret glances. Ordinarily, they could not publicly talk about Krishna, since they were chaste young girls in a religious village. But now they took advantage of the wonderful exhibition by the Lord and freely sang of his beautiful qualities. It is natural that a young man wants to do something wonderful in the presence of a beautiful young girl. The gopis were the most beautiful and pure-hearted young girls, and Sri Krishna performed the most wonderful activities in their presence. Thus he entered deep within their tender hearts, enlivening their eternal devotion to him. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna Lifts Govardhan Hill. Om Magyanatimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. It seems that everybody has been touched by Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill. All of the residents of Vrindavan are enlivened by their association with Krishna. Not only the residents of Vrindavan, but also the demigods, the Siddhas, the Sajjas, the Gandharvas, the Charanas. So, Krishna is touching everyone with his Leela, with his pastimes. Especially the residents of Vrindavan. The word here, there's a word here mentioned. Tato Anuraktai. Anuraktai is described here as loving, loving, affectionate. Very affectionate. So Krishna has, by this pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, increased the affection between himself and all of the residents of Vrindavan took shelter under Govardhan Hill, including the cows, the other animals, and all of the other devotees in all of the different relationships that Krishna has with his devotees. All of his friends, the Sakyas. Now he's going off to play with his friends. But not only the Sakyas, his intimate friends, the cows and the other devotees who have a service relationship in Dasya, and then the gopas and the gopis who are in a Vatsalya Ras parental relationship with Krishna, and in the open, as Manaswami was explaining the other day, in an environment where they're openly able to associate with Krishna, also his Madhurya Leela was also enhanced. The relationship between Krishna and the cowherd girls. So everybody was able to, everybody's relationship with Krishna was nourished in a loving way by Krishna showing his affection to the devotees by protecting them. with the shelter of Govardhan Hill, because Krishna says, I'll protect my Kuntaya Patijanehi Name Bhakta Pranasyate, my devotee will never perish. Krishna says, so long as one's surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna will protect, which is an important point. Aham tvam sava papebhyo moksha yasyami ma. Do not fear, ma suchaha, do not fear. You know, people are very often greatly fearful about the future. Basically because they're in a state of ignorance and they don't know what, you know, what's going to happen to them. But generally speaking, the devotees are not like that, or they really shouldn't be like that. If one is surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna will automatically protect. And despite the fact that there will be disturbances and difficulties in living in the material world, so dukkha dosha anudarshanam, we see the difficulties of material existence, but still. A devotee who's surrendered to Krishna feels protected. It's like the residents of Vrindavan felt fully protected by Krishna. The only time when we don't feel fully protected is when we're not actually surrendering to Krishna. Then we're thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen next? Huh? We're making our own decisions rather than depending upon Krishna. It's very interesting. I've been reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just the beginning, the first chapter of the Adi Lila. Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions Jayato Suruto Pango Mama Manda Mater Gati. He says, I am lame. Pangu means lame. In other words, I'm incapable. I have no capacity to act. Basically. And he says, Mandamati, right? My intelligence is poor. Prabhupada translated says, I'm ill-advised. Right? I'm ill-advised. I'm not very confident and I've got bad advice. My mind, my senses, my weak intelligence, you know, they're all telling me, engage in material activities. Interesting. This is a humble mood of a devotee. But he says, interesting what he says. But he says, Radha, Madan, Mohan, are my directors. Right? So in other words, he says, I'm lame and ill-advised. But, however. I take my direction from Krishna. Interesting. That's what a surrendered devotee is. That was that verse we were discussing the other day. If we take shelter of Krishna and follow Krishna's direction, then what does Krishna say? Sarvadurgani, all difficulties, mat prasada tarisyasi. By my mercy, you can overcome all difficulties. Matschita, is it? That's it. Yeah, that's the beginning. Matschita sarvadurgani. If you're conscious of me, Krishna says, then all difficulties, by my mercy, you'll overcome. That's a literal translation. Right? Mat prasada tarisiti. However, ata chet tvam, if you think, ata chet tvam, however, if you think according to ahankara, false ego, then nasrosyasi, you won't hear me. You won't hear me. You'll be lost. Vinankshati means you'll be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. So, one who's surrendered to Krishna fills the protection. And when we're not surrendered to Krishna, then we're wondering, oh, what's going to happen to me? Mm-hmm. Right, what's next? There's some distress comes. Distress. Which is really not is not a good quality for the devotees. In fact, you know, Krishna says to Arjuna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, how anarya jushtam, how are you showing these characteristics of the non-progressive persons? Which is pretty much a symptom of Kali Yuga. Everybody's lamenting. Everybody's in a state of distress, pretty much. But not really applicable for a devotee. For one who has surrendered to Krishna, then they feel Krishna's protection, despite the difficulties. Why? Mat prasada, because they get Krishna's mercy. Krishna reveals himself. So Krishna's revealing himself to all of the residents of Vrindavan here by providing them with the shelter of Govardhan. And as a result of that, and in the process, nourishing all of the relationships that he's having with the devotees by, you know, sidelong glances to his girlfriends, and they're making, you know, this is what boys and girls do. Then what happens to the girls? Then they don't look. The boy looks and, oh, what's wrong? She doesn't like me anymore. Right? So they play games. So, and especially for the cowherd girls, because ordinarily their relationship is furtive, if you like. It's covered. It's as Manaswami mentioned the other day, it's not allowed in, you know, it clashes with the relationship between the mother and the father, say, for example. You know, the last thing I did when I was a teenager was tell my mum and dad about my girlfriends. It's just Russ a bus. They don't go together. In front of your mother and father, everything has to be very formal. That's the proper etiquette. But even in this situation, in the open with everybody, that relationship was nourished by Krishna. Everybody was feeling great ecstasy, great happiness to be exchanging these
mellows.
Yes, the mellows, the rasas. Which is interesting because this is an example. Actually, it's an example of, we find here, you know, the demigods and the great, the siddhas, the charanas, and they're all showering flowers now and offering their obeisances to Krishna. Right? His parents and the elderly gopas and gopis are offering blessings and, you know, massaging him and, are you okay, you know, giving their blessings. And then his friends, they're patting him on the back and, you know, hugging and exchanging friendship. The younger cowherd boys, the juniors, they're massaging his feet, as mentioned in the previous verse. So according to the different relationships that they have, then Krishna is exchanging loving affection and the devotees are offering their affection according to the relationship. The gopis can't massage his feet at this point, so they can only... It's just a glance. But still, that's a touch, if you like. Then as a result, the devotees are singing Krishna's glories. Of course, that's how one thinks of Krishna. matschita mat. What is it? Matgata prana vadayanta parasparam katayantascha mamnityam tusyanticha ramanticha. So after the exchanges with Krishna, then the cowherd girls are openly able to sing Krishna's glories. It's mentioned here. Krishna wants to demonstrate his prowess to everybody, especially the young girls, and now they have been enchanted by his feet, wonderful feet of lifting Govardhan Hill, and they are now able to glorify Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, Gayantaha. Right? This is how we engage in devotional service, actually. Manasa, what is it? Karmana Manasa Gira. We can think of Krishna, we can serve Krishna, and we can sing. Gira means to speak, talk, sing about Krishna's. And this way we engage all of our senses, external and internal, gross and subtle, in devotional activities. And it's how we come to that point of matschitta, remembering Krishna. In fact, the whole purpose of sadhana bhakti is to bring us to that point of remembering Krishna. That's why, practically speaking, every minute of the day is organized with some devotional activity. Rising early in the morning, performing mangalarti, chanting japa, doing puja, you know, cleaning the all of these activities. Everything is ultimately designed in such a way so that we're always remembering Krishna. Hearing the Bhagavatam class means we get an opportunity to absorb ourselves in the pastimes of Krishna or in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, so that then we're able to think, you know, we stimulate and activate all of our senses, gross and subtle, through the process of devotional service, so that we can always remember Krishna. You know, when you're walking down the street, lugging your book bag, and your back is giving you pain, and you're wondering why nobody's taking any books, and you think, what am I doing this for? But then you have to remember Krishna, right? We're forced to remember Krishna. Although, you know, it is a test. Sometimes we start thinking, oh, you know, why me? It's too hard. Huh? We fall back into that that lamentation mode, you know. When life gets tough, then we fall back into woe is me mode. But actually it's designed to have us think more deeply, especially if we're following a good sadhana system, a good sadhana practice. Then the natural tendency will be to again think of Krishna and to understand things philosophically. Why me? Why me? Because I'm a mandamate, right? I'm a fool. This is the example that's set for us by the very advanced devotees. Like Krishna Das Kaviraj is obviously, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, not a fool. Right? He is obviously not a fool. But he feels himself as a fool. Why am I a fool? I'm a fool because I've become so entangled in material existence. I've become so enamored by the objects of the senses, and the mind is so, you know, foolish but tricky, and I become captured by these things, therefore I'm a fool. I'm depending upon my own endeavors and my own so-called own to succeed. But actually, we're always dependent upon Krishna. Whichever way we go, even when we're thinking we're independent, actually we are dependent. Right? You know, in 1976, ago was 1976.
30 years.
30 years ago. Right, so some of you probably weren't born in 1976. But in 1976, I remember my friend used to bring home Back to Godheads that he got from... I used to think, what's he getting those Hare Krishna books for? But one of them was a Back to Godhead magazine. 1976 was the 200th anniversary of the independence of America. So they were celebrating independence.
Independence!
But then Prabhupada had an article in the BTG. It said, declaring our dependence on God. Right? So actually this whole idea of I'm independent, I can do what I like, I'm an individual, leave me alone. No, actually, you know, it's leave me alone, but listen to me. Right? This is the whole idea of individuality. Listen to me. Everybody thinks, you know, I'm an individual, so therefore everybody should listen to me. This is us listening to these lectures from the communications conference that's being held in Europe at the moment. It's an interesting... Sonaka Rishi was explaining why democracy doesn't work. Because it means you give everybody a voice. And if you give everybody a voice, that means ultimately anarchy. Right? Because it means everybody's right. But everybody, you know, being right means, you know, me, 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 me. That's all you hear, me, 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 not the group, what's best for the group. People don't think like that. They think, what's good for me? So that's, you know, this is, actually that's not individuality. Individuality means understanding our relationship with, understanding who we are and what our relationship is with Krishna. That's the real expression of individuality. Otherwise, this whole concept of who we are is just an illusion. It's false. And so as many minds as you've got, then that's how many ideas you've got of what's good for everybody. So anyway, Prabhupada was saying in this article, we are dependent upon Krishna. And that's the mood of Krishna Das Kaviraj. He's saying, I am lame and ill-advised, but I offer my obeisances to Radha Madan Mohan because they are my directors. So in other words, Krishna is my director. But how can we receive Krishna's direction? In order to receive Krishna's direction and shelter, we have to be qualified to accept it. Right? And what are the qualifications shown by the great acharyas? Say for example, Krishna, he's feeling himself, even though he's not a fool, he's feeling himself. I am humble, in other words, humility. One of the key ingredients in making progress in spiritual life is being humble. And ultimately accepting everything that happens as Krishna's arrangement, rather than, oh, why me? But rather, I'm surprised that it wasn't, you know, worse. I deserve worse. That's actually the mood of the devotee, is I deserve worse, actually. How fortunate I am that I didn't get what I deserve. And so, you know, difficulties and stressful situations bring out the best in a devotee, actually. Or they can bring out the worst also sometimes. Right? Stressful, difficult situations can sometimes bring out the worst, because then we start blaming, oh, it's your fault, you didn't do this. Right? But actually the interesting thing is that the mood of a devotee is not, you know, it's your fault and everybody else's fault and I didn't do anything wrong, why me? But rather, you know, I'm ill-advised, I'm lame and ill-advised, but somehow or other Krishna is being very kind to me and he's protecting me. And he does, he protects the surrendered soul, the surrendered devotee. That's his promise. And that's what a devotee is. A devotee... actually, there are different stages of devotion. The Prakriti Bhakta, or the Kanishtha Adhikari, is sometimes proud. Right? But not adept in establishing relationships with others. Often in conflict with others. They're still devotees because they believe in their relationship with God. And they praise, you know, they'll praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, you know, if somebody else doesn't agree with them, they'll have an argument with them. Or even worse, you know, see the most extreme behaviours in Kanishtha Adhikaris. They'll even blow themselves up in the name of God, right? This is, you know, devotional service. It's even mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that devotional service can be performed in, affected by the different modes of material nature. You know, so praise the Lord. Although, if you look at the Vaishnava tradition, that's generally not our recommended. That's not recommended. But often, you know, you see that Kanishtha Bhakta will argue with one and all about anything almost. But as one matures in one's devotional service, then one. Develops a more positive approach and develops one's relationships, especially develops one's relationship, because the Kanishtha Adhikari, generally speaking, is not secure and knowledgeable, and their faith is not strong. So when their faith is not strong, then they tend to be defensive. And in order to be defensive, sometimes they can become offensive. Right? But, and this is why Prabhupada recommends that actually one should move very quickly, try to move quickly from a Kanishtha to a Madhyam. And he recommends, and this is one of the reasons why Prabhupada wrote so many books, was because in order to bring a person from Kanishtha to Madhyam, you have to build their faith. And one of the means of nourishing faith is by giving them knowledge. Right? Knowledge of their relationship with Krishna, knowledge of the benefits. Actually, this is one of the, you know, this is the importance of preaching, if you like, preaching Krishna consciousness and preaching in a positive way. We actually have to give people an understanding of the benefits of surrendering to Krishna. There are immense and tangible benefits from being surrendered to Krishna and being sheltered by Krishna. You know, we won't name anybody, but you see certain preachers, especially downtown, you know, and there'll be a guy with a Bible in his hand, right? Clenching, you know, clenched. And he'll be walking up and down, screaming at the walls. Jesus loves you. God loves you. You know, and, you know, his body language is sort of, somewhat, you know, you think, is that the representation of love and affection? God loves you. But if you don't surrender to him, then you're going to hell. Right? Now, how effective is that? Is that very effective? If you don't surrender to Krishna, then you're going to. You should read the fifth canto of the Bhagavad Gita. Find out where you're going. But you know, what do we see here in this pastime? Krishna's protecting the devotees, and the relationships are all nourished, they're all loving and affectionate and appreciative, right? There's no fear in the minds of the residents of Vrindavan. So there shouldn't be any fear in the mind of a devotee who is actually protected and sheltered by Krishna. And that is a devotee. A devotee is somebody who's sheltered and protected by Krishna, depending on their degree of surrender. So we have to... I guess first of all we've got to surrender ourselves. That's the start. That's the beginning. Huh? We were just discussing with Nishin Kavacha Prabhu this morning. You know, he was made a comment. Prabhupada said, you have to practice what you preach. You know, within one of the things that we need within ISKCON is a community of devotees who are actually able to practice and demonstrate these relationships. Affection and appreciation and shelter. And it's a fact, you know, we really, you know, when we're living in this, in the association of the devotees, we really do feel shelter. Well, I do anyway, I don't know about you. Because it wasn't always like that, I have to admit. For the first few years that I was a devotee, I thought, I wonder if I'm going to make any friends with anybody around here. But there's only a couple of us here who knew the temple commander of the time. So it's no wonder that I felt like that. I've told the story many times. He said to me once, you know, Anirudha, I said, I'm surprised after all of the things that I did to you that you didn't bloop. But we don't, you know, we don't want that kind of, we don't want those kind of relationships within our communities, really. We want to model the kind of relationships that we see in the residents of Vrindavan, where they're showing love and affection. Of course, you know, we are living in a material world, and so consequently there will be differences and difficulties, no doubt. But as we're making advancement in Krishna consciousness, and as we're coming to the Madhyam stage, the quality of a Madhyam Bhakta is make friends with the devotees. You know, develop and nourish the relationships that we have based on surrender to Krishna, right? Based on the system of surrender to Krishna. that's our unique selling point. We're giving you an opportunity. We're giving people an opportunity to express their individuality. Their true individuality, right? That's real freedom. We're giving people to express, it's freedom of expression, right? Which is what people want. People want freedom. Well, we're giving them freedom. Freedom to express themselves, but express themselves through the surrendering process of devotional service. That will then nourish the relationships. Not only will we feel protected by Krishna, but we'll feel protected in the association of the devotees. Very much so. Despite the difficulties. Although when you think about it, the difficulties that we undergo, not that many. Not as many as, you know, Kormu would tell me stories of how, you know, the devotees were living very simply. So, you know, the plates for breakfast, you know what the plates at breakfast time were? Wax paper. I couldn't imagine it. When I first came to the Melbourne Temple, I was thinking, I was coming from Adelaide, and I was thinking, I wonder if the prasadam's going to be any good in Melbourne. That was my big worry. My big worry was, I don't know whether I should go to Melbourne. Prasadam might not be as good. And then we turned up on Monday morning. We drove Sunday night in the bus all night, and got here early in the morning. And And then I saw the leftovers from the Sunday feast. I thought, whoa, that looks pretty good. Looks like I might have made the right decision. But, you know, some of the austerities that the devotees perform are very significant. But there was, because there was surrender to Krishna, then the devotees were happy. You know what I mean? There were difficulties, there was a struggle, it was hard, they slept on the floor, it was cold, cold showers. When I joined up, there weren't any hot showers in the Brahmachari ashrams, showers, it was all cold. And it was just a nozzle, you know, it wasn't a nozzle, it was just a pipe coming out of the wall. So when you turned on the water in the wintertime, it was like, oh. Actually, I think there was one hot shower. Was it Vera, one hot shower? Yeah. Yeah, that was it. The first in, best dressed. Everybody else had to have a cold shower. And you couldn't stand around and wait for the hot shower, otherwise you'd be labelled a bit of a wimp. Yeah, what's wrong with you? Come on. Get off the mental platform. But, you know, despite the austerities, actually the devotees like austerity. It builds a mood of camaraderie, actually. Because ultimately the austerities, you know, what is it? Bhaktaram Jagya Tapasam, right? Austerities are meant for Krishna's pleasure. When they're performed for Krishna's pleasure, then the devotees become happy. Not that we should torture ourselves, mind you. But because the simple living, if you like, is actually enjoyable, especially when it is done for Krishna's pleasure. Because invoking Krishna's pleasure means then Krishna gives us protection, Krishna gives us shelter, Krishna enlivens the devotees, actually. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The devotees get satisfaction and enjoyment out of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That inspires them to do service. The service deepens the reciprocation between them and Krishna, and them and the other devotees. That's why the surrendering process is so important. So, when one is surrendered, and when one matures as a devotee, one feels comfortable, and one then should move, I guess, towards this point of humility when faced with difficulties. Right, that's the mature approach. When faced with difficulties, a devotee becomes humbled. More humble and more dependent upon Krishna rather than, you know, proud and, you know, more, what, you know, what's going on around here? Why me? You did this, you did that, and you did the other thing, and that's why I'm suffering. Interesting. But it's the other way around. But he doesn't think like that. He thinks, you know, I am a fool. I have done so many sinful activities. It's a wonder that I haven't been wiped off the face of the earth, you know, ages ago. But somehow or other, Krishna is protecting me and revealing to me the error. So, you know, the difficulties that we face in material existence are actually revelations of the error of turning away from Krishna and coming into the material world. That's what it boils down to, basically. In that mood, then one, you know, in that mood of dependence upon Krishna, one turns towards Krishna and looks for his shelter. And then Krishna reveals himself. What is it? Mat prasada tarishyasi, by my mercy. Sometimes Krishna holds off. Sometimes Krishna holds off. But only to show just how wonderful his mercy is. Huh? Actually, sometimes and we're thinking, come on, Krishna, you're supposed to look after your devotees. How come you're not doing it yet? But he is. We discover later on that he is, actually. In many wonderful ways. Actually, the next chapter is called Wonderful Krishna. So in so many ways, Krishna is actually... even if, especially for us, one of the things that I realise, I see it in others, I don't see it in myself, but I think, oh, we're not humble enough. I don't think, I'm not humble enough. I think, we're not humble enough, thinking the other devotees, not me. But I think that is a bit of a problem, especially for the Western devotees, Western which means, you know, myself, I suppose. We need to cultivate that. And so therefore that's why Krishna smashes us down all the time, you know, so that we will become humble. Because we think, what? Hey, ooh, why me? Okay, bang, 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 have some more. So that we can come to the point of, you know, that mood of, say, somebody like Krishna does, manda mate, pungo, pungo. That's that verse. What is it? The verse that I... Yeah, the verse... pungo, pungo. I can't remember it. I say it every morning, but I forget it very quickly. I am lame. What is it? Blind. Mukam karoti vachalam. I can't speak, but Krishna makes me speak. Mukam karoti vachalam. Pangu langayate grim. You know, the lame to cross over mountains, and the dumb man can speak. Dumb man can speak, lame can cross over mountains. What's the other one? Blind man can see. Yeah. Sorry? Yes, dumb man can compose eloquent poetry under Krishna's, actually under the Guru's mercy, but ultimately the Guru's mercy is coming from Krishna. I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? On any of these points, we've finished this chapter now, lifting Govardhan Hill, which is pretty amazing pastime in this section of the Bhagavatam. Yes,
can you explain the difference between true humility,
yep,
and also using your intelligence?
Yep. Yes. Humility as opposed to stupidity.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Prabhupada did want us to use our intelligence. I have to admit, I was extremely distressed when I surrendered to Krishna and moved into the temple and then discovered that, you know, I was basically being bullied by people. You know what I mean? I was extremely distressed by that because I thought, you know, all devotees are good. We think all of the devotees are good. They're all pure devotees. And then we behave to each other, you know, at a lesser standard, if you like. And all devotees are good, you know, especially when in the core. I think one of the things that we have to do is, in Krishna consciousness, is understand the core of a person's heart. You know, what is the core characteristic of a devotee? even if he's not very sophisticated, makes mistakes or whatever, if a person is inoffensive, right, and is sincerely trying to their best of their ability to serve, they try to serve the devotees or they try to serve Krishna, then they're tolerable. They're tolerable, right? Whereas somebody who's, I was discussing this with Gangaswara the other day, but somebody who's offensive to the deities or whatever, or more often, you don't stay around here, you don't last here very long if you're offensive to the deities. You know, there's half a dozen blokes who'll pick you up and throw you out. But if a person becomes offensive to the devotees, then either the other devotees deal with them or Krishna deals with them. And basically, actually, isn't it? It's interesting, there's that story of Madhvacharya who went to Jagannath Puri and he started criticizing the pandas there. And what happened to him? Lord Jagannath drop kicked him all the way into South India. You're disturbing the devotees. Because it's interesting. It's interesting in our Vaishnava culture, one of the things that. One of the devotees was mentioning in these classes yesterday was that Vaishnav culture, say in Manipur, is very different to the Vaishnav culture of South India. And in fact, the two sometimes don't even recognise that each other is a Vaishnava. Oh, those guys, they're not Vaishnavas. Look what they're doing. Right? Because they're not doing it like me, therefore how can they be Vaishnavas? Interesting enough. But they're Vaishnavas. Just the cultural setting is very different. But you know, what would we say? Oh well, they're Vaishnavas. Look, they're rendering service, and they're Vaishnavas. They're rendering service. So the core. So it's not the details so much, but it's the core of the heart of the devotee. Do they want to? Are they trying to serve Krishna? Are they inoffensive? They may make mistakes and whatever. May not be very polished, but we accept the inherent service attitude of a devotee. Now. How do we use our intelligence? We use our intelligence by coming to the Madhyam platform and understanding, you know, who we should associate with. Which is difficult sometimes because it means, you know, sometimes we might have to stay away from some of our friends because they're not behaving properly. Or we stay away from our parents, you know, people who we would normally be friendly with, who are even affectionate towards us sometimes, right? We'll stay away from them because they're not serving Krishna. Which is a hard one, especially within our communities, because we have such a spectrum of devotees. And, you know, sometimes some of the devotees are doing odd stuff. For example, I heard of one devotee who was visiting restaurants with his friends and stuff, and occasionally they'd have, you know, a bit of a tipple. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but I would probably avoid the association of that kind of a devotee. There's using our intelligence, right? Well, okay, chants Hare Krishna, likes to do service, but, you know, likes to have a drink every now and again. Well, okay. We'll, you know, so that kind of devotee we'll respect from a distance. We'll still offer them, we'll still be respectful. Yes, he wants to serve Krishna, but that kind of sangha, I reckon I might pass on. You know, if he invites me to go down for a meal out, then I'll probably, you know, just sorry for Boo, but I've got something else on this weekend, something like that. So still deferential in that we respect them, but we keep our distance a little bit, right? Those devotees who are, you know, we'll steer clear of the offensive and we'll also steer clear of those who are not strong sadhakas. If we want to come to the Madhyam platform, generally, we'll try to, surround ourselves or position ourselves in such a way so that we can, you know, be in a position where we can always remember Krishna and never forget him. And that generally means, according to Rupa Goswami, following the standard practices of sadhana bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya recommends that we should be respectful to everybody, But at the same time, he also recommends that we be careful about who we associate with, and that's where the intelligence bit comes in. Right, so, you know, humility means we're respectful to everybody, but we'll make it, you know, we'll make decisions of discrimination based on using our intelligence. So we say, yes, he's a devotee, but, you know, likes to have a drink every now and again. There are some people like that. No, maybe not in this immediate association, but my friends were like that before I became a devotee. They were encouraging me, "Chant Hare Krishna, yeah, it's a good idea. Why don't you chant 16 rounds? Get up in the morning, go to Mangaladi," which I started doing. And then I go back to visit them at 11 o'clock, they're still in bed after, you know, smoking dope all night. So I thought, these are the guys who are encouraging me to go to Mangaladi and chant Hare Krishna, but why aren't they doing it? And I thought, well, at least they encouraged me to become a devotee. Right? You know, like Prabhupada says, you can take gold from a filthy place. So they encouraged me to become a devotee, and I was thinking, but why aren't you guys doing it? You know, you have to understand, that was, you know, quite a few years ago, long time ago. And the association that I was taking then wasn't exactly, you know, obviously wasn't of the highest type of devotee. In fact, I mentioned one of the devotees the other day that I think I was discussing with Banaswami. I said, the first devotee who preached to me, the first devotee that preached to me came to my house to buy some heroin off one of my friends, which doesn't sort of just give you an indication of the kind of company that I was keeping at the time, not very pleasant. But he preached to me. He was the first Hare Krishna devotee that I'd met, and he told me the story. Interesting, he told me the story about Valmiki and how Valmiki was a robber and a thief, but he was, you know, tired of his ways. And I think he was preached to by Narada Muni. Was it Narada Muni? And he told him to chant Ram. Chant the name of Ram. He said, "I can't. I need something." So Narada said, "All right, chant the name of Mara, death." You know, because he'd been killing, he was a gunda and a dacoit, killing people, and more appropriate. But of course, Mara, Mara, Mara became Rama, Rama, Rama. And he became purified by that. So he, the devotee told me that, so I thought, wow, that's pretty far out. I thought, well, Krishna consciousness, it sounds interesting. So just by that association, he made me a lot more favourable to finding out more about what is this Krishna consciousness about. So even though we were in a tamaguna situation, still there was some, Krishna was shining some ray of light into the what was a dark, very dark situation. So, does that give you any... Or not.
And there are certain services that devotees have to do together, living within the community. You can't always avoid those associations because due to the nature of what you're doing or what you're not doing. So in situations like that, it's more...
You have to practice. You know, it's easy to get into an argument with people, but it's a lot harder to, you know, maintain humility and control. Because usually what happens is when the tempers go high, then control is lost. But in the... Sadhbhuja's got this thing in his office and it says, you know, steel is made strong by... this is just paraphrasing, by turning up the heat and beating it. Right? So, you know, in the really... stressful, you know, in the heat of a stressful situation, if you keep your cool, right, then you become stronger as a result. So, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I don't want stress, I just want it easy. But that doesn't necessarily make you strong. Krishna turns on the stress and the heat in order to make us strong. Right? That's what's going on. So we think, oh, this is terrible, why me? But actually, what's happening is Krishna's turning up the heat and putting on the stress to improve your devotional service and to improve your tolerance level and all of these different things. So that's why it's called prasadam, his mercy. We're thinking, I prefer the rasgulla. I prefer the sweet to the, you know, the savoury, to the chilli. May not be a good example, a good analogy, but, you know, we prefer the sweet. But just like a parent, you know, a parent gives love and affection to the child, just like you give love and affection to your daughters and sons, right? But at the same time also, you yell at them. Right? Are you yelling at your kids because you don't like them? They think that. Oh, what's wrong with your mum? Give us a break. But why is the mum, why is the mother yelling at the kids? Get out of bed, hop in the shower, have your breakfast, go to school. Right? For the benefit of the kids. Kids are thinking, ah, parents, you know, give us a break. But actually it's for the benefit. So Krishna's like that also. He sometimes, you know, gets with a stick behind the devotees and starts chasing them, but it's for their benefit. So I guess that's why, it's good to be humble, try to be humble, even though sometimes we do explode. We are people too, you know. We are individuals and we do have our breaking point. But, you know, if we can see that, well, he or she is a sincere devotee, they're trying to serve. Occasionally they might blow the boiler might boil over, steam might come out. But what's the essence of that person's, what's going on in the core of the heart of that devotee? And then, you know, maybe how can I help that person overcome that situation? How can I help? That's real service to the devotees, actually. If somebody's having some difficulty in a particular environment. You know, there's an interesting thing that they talk about in team, in leadership, or in team building, more facilitation, actually. But a good team of people recognises the flaws in everybody. Right? But then compensate. We know Aniruddha's not particularly good at that, but I can do it, so let me do that bit. But he's good at doing something that I can't do, so let I'll do the bit that he can't do, or I'll guard his situation. He's weak in that area, so I'll guard him so that he doesn't get into a difficulty, because I know he's weak there. But I'll support him because he does things that I can't do, and I'll encourage him to do that. And then I'll take up the area where he may not be so good in. You know what I mean? So in a community, you know, we know, because we all live very closely together, we all know each other's foibles and we know all the buttons that we can press on somebody to make them explode. Right? Like kids know exactly how to press mum's button so that she explodes. But we avoid pressing each other's buttons knowing that will upset it, you know, will upset. So there's, you know, in one sense, here's one thing I've noticed in myself. You have a conflict with somebody, then you think, I'll get that, you know, I'll get him, I'm going to press a few of the buttons that I know will turn him off, tip him over. But you have to restrain yourself. You think, hang on, that's not the thing. I can see that devotee XYZ's got a problem, but that's not going to, exacerbating the problem is not going to solve it. So then you have to withdraw yourself. And this is, I guess, in one part some humility. You have to think, well, okay, there is a problem here. Now how am I going to help this devotee? Because they are a devotee and they have many good qualities that they're bringing to, you know, the community of devotees and even helping me. So how can I work in such a way as to help that devotee? That's team building, if you like, or community building, if you like.
And it's using your intelligence.
And it's using your intelligence, yeah. Because, you know, we could have open warfare amongst the devotees if we wanted to. You did this, and yeah, what about 20 years ago you did that to me, and blah, 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 blah. I'm not familiar with him on Sankirtan, but yes, possibly. Did you say Dave? Anyway, let's not call names. Every one of us could have a tag on ourselves. Tolerance is a key. That's really the key. Tolerance. And as you mentioned, then you're using your intelligence to improve the situation. Recognizing the positive things in others, seeing the core intention. If somebody is envious and they won't listen, you know, I've had this situation within the temple, who won't follow the authority, will just do their own thing, will criticize the management structure of the community and so forth. You know, eventually sometimes you have to say, look, Prabhu, just cut it out. Leave us alone.
And that could also happen between devotees.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do that. It really pains me to say that. But in reality, if somebody's abusing the system, that means they're abusing themselves ultimately because they're not taking full advantage. So sometimes it's really bad if that situation happens. But, devotees sometimes say, Prabhupada, build a house in which everybody can live. I say no. And Prabhupada didn't say that, in fact. He didn't say it. It was what somebody said about him. He could build a house in which everybody could live. But, actually, the devotional house does not allow demons in. You know, and if a devotee is behaving like a demon, sometimes you have to say, Prabhu, this is what the material world's for. Okay, Prabhu, look, you need to go and cool off. You know? Sometimes, you know, did they used to do that when you went to school? That you'd be misbehaving and then the teacher would say, okay, go and stand in the corner. Did they do that when you were at school? And so you have to go and stand in the corner and face the wall. So sometimes you have to do that with devotees. You know, have to say, look, Prabhu, give us a break. Go and stand in the corner for a while. Cool off. Because even in the association of the devotees, there's still sometimes that controlling mentality, that enjoying mentality. Listen, everybody should be doing what I tell them to do. Even though, you know, they haven't got the position, but it happens sometimes in the devotees. Oh, why should I listen to these guys? I'll do what I like. Which is the antithesis, actually, of devotion. Yeah, the devotional service is, I'll do what Krishna wants. I'll do what the devotees want. That's actually the mood of a devotee. What do you want, Prabhu? I'm here to do some service. How would you like me to do the service? That's the mood of a devotee. I'm here to do service. What do you think I should do? What does Prabhupada want me to do? What does Lord Chaitanya want me to do? That's the mood. So sometimes when devotees behave, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, they appear to be devotional, and they are maybe even in many respects, but they start becoming offensive. Then we have to be very sad when that happens. But sometimes it happens. So, you know, Krishna's not happy that people, that the devotees leave the spiritual world. Krishna does everything he can to keep us in the spiritual world. But sometimes it's not possible because the behaviour is just too bad. So therefore we have the material world. And actually, even though it looks like there's a lot of us here, actually we're in the minority. It's just that we just got bad association, that's all. All right. I think we should finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada.